Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's dive in here. Yesterday, for my family, was a huge day for the Wilson family. It's one that I have been anticipating for a long, long, long time. And I will show you a picture once this picture comes up here of this little guy right here. I cannot tell you how excited I was yesterday to see my little boy out there hitting the ball, playing catch. It's something I can just honestly tell you that I have prayed for a long time. When my baseball career ended, I said, God, please bring me a son that will carry on the Wilson name into stardom, that he will one day play for the Angels. I've got it all planned out, that I could, listen, live my dreams through. I have been waiting for this day. In fact, I started to think about this a little bit. I'm a little crazy with this. Before he could even walk, I bought a little pitching machine, one of those little cheap ones. Way before the first practice, he already had a T-ball bat. He already had a T-ball glove. He had everything. He was already dialed in by practice number one. Because this, I really have been waiting for this for quite some time. So yesterday was an exciting day for us. I'll just tell you, he's a little less excited than I am. He doesn't quite get the concept of baseball. He actually, I'll just be honest, he doesn't even want to do it. But I'm like, son, this is what we do together. And guess what? At the end, there's a Slurpee for you. So keep playing, right? Keep going. Have you ever had that thing in your life where you're like, I want this to happen so badly. And I've been waiting and I've been waiting. I've been expectant for it. In our congregation, there's a couple in the link, Matthew and Gail Perry. And I spoke with her, or I texted her yesterday, and I said, is the baby here yet? And she said, no, the baby's not here yet. And they've been waiting. She's past due, and this is their second child. But they're waiting. She said, actually, you know what? The doctor said he's just camping out. So it could be, you know, by Friday, this baby has to come. And so they're expectant. They are waiting. And ladies, if you've ever been in that spot, isn't it kind of a frustrating time to wait when you're like, I'm excited and this baby should be here. Let's do this. And so Gail's probably got 100 different ways to make the baby come, right? Lunges, jogging, certain kind of mixtures of teas that will work to get the baby to come out. But she's expectant and she's waiting. And have we all been in that place where we're like, God, now, ready? Now, do it now. I'm ready. Bring this healing, bring this health, bring this baby, bring whatever. Lord, I am waiting for this moment. Most of us all have been there and we know what it's like to wait. Some of the hardest times, in fact, you could argue in the Christian walk is when God says, hey, I need you to wait. You got to wait. You got to be patient. You got to wait. What about in situations where we have husbands, brothers, mothers, sisters who don't know the Lord, and he says, you got to wait? That could be the hardest times. When we have a job, when we're waiting for a job interview, or maybe we've been hard after a job, we've been working, working, working to get a job, and there's no job coming, and God's saying, wait. God, why don't you heal me? I'm ready to get back out onto the field again. I want to play. God, heal me. Why won't you heal me? Wait. God, when are you coming back? I'm ready to all this to be done. I just want to be with you for eternity, spend forever in your grace, in your mercy, in your presence. And he says, wait. God, why don't you bring a child into our family? I know we have some young married couples who are saying, Lord, we're ready to have a kid, but we can't. And God's saying, wait. For whatever reason, God says, wait. Lord, heal my marriage. Lord, there's a rift between my husband and I. He doesn't see what I see, and she doesn't see what I see, and there seems to be this continual problem in our marriage, and God, why won't you heal that marriage? Why won't you heal me? Why won't you heal us? And God says, wait. And if we're honest with ourselves, these are times where we have sleepless nights, anxiety, worry, difficulty. These are oftentimes the hardest parts of our faith, instability, feelings of missed opportunity. God, what am I doing wrong? Where are you? God, where are you? And in fact, these are oftentimes that I've learned as a pastor and through counseling, these are oftentimes when people come in and they say, I don't know where God is. And their faith begins to wane, begins to dissipate, because they start to question, God, why are you doing this? God, where are you in all of this? This morning, I want to look at two things. Number one, I want you to know, I want to look at, there are times when you're just going to have to wait. And God, in those times of waiting, is going to say, I need you to be faithful, and I need you to be patient. I need you to be faithful, and I need you to be patient. The second thing that we're going to look at this morning is, when we're waiting, what do we have? Like, throw me a bone here, Lord. What do I have to hold on to? How can I wait and wait and wait? I got to have something. You got to give me something. And we're going to look at that for our second point this morning. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6? Hebrews chapter 6. What Paul wants to do here, as you turn to Hebrews chapter 6, is encourage a group of people who have been struggling in their faith. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 8, he talks to a group of people who've said, we're going back to the old ways. We've been waiting for God too long. We're going back to the way we used to live. We're going back to the old ways of life. And he warns them. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to lose what you have. You're going to lose what you've built. As you walk away from the Lord, you're going to lose all that. And he says, listen, stay true to your call. I know God is making you wait. I know he is. And so then he writes here in verse 9 to a group of people who are still there, but they're saying, this is getting hard on this waiting thing. These questions that we have, the things that are going on in our lives, it would be so easy just to run back and fill ourselves with the world again. And he's saying, listen, verse 9. And listen, there are times when God is going to call us to wait. Look at verse 9. But beloved, he's got a heart for these people. He loves them. We are confident of better things concerning you. Concerning you. Not those people who've left, but he's saying, listen, concerning you, those that have stayed, that are here with us now. Yes, things accompanying salvation. Though we speak in this manner, verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, that you're doing now. Those things that you've done and the things that you're doing now, God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about those things that you, the investment that you've made in his kingdom, the life that you've lived for him, God has not forgotten you. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope when? Until the end. That you see this thing all the way out. That you don't just stop midlife and say, I'm going back. He's saying, listen, I want you to go all the way to the end. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, that you don't become lazy, that you don't become apathetic, but imitate those who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. The author calls on the people to go with faith and patience. Hold on. Be diligent. Keep going. Listen, I know that you're in the waiting. You're waiting for God to answer. You've got questions. You've got things going on in your life, things that are maybe causing you to have anxiety, worry, sleepless nights. I mean, we've all been there. I don't think you and I are any different. We have moments where we're like, God, why? And he says, wait. And when you wait, do it with faith and with patience. It's kind of like you're in God's waiting room. It's kind of like you're in God's wait. How many of you guys have ever waited in a waiting room before? Oh, my goodness, right? It's one of those times where you're sitting there and you hear doors opening and closing and you think, now it must be my turn, right? Now he's coming. He's coming now. Nope, he's not coming now. Okay, I heard the door open. Okay, it must be my turn. Okay, give me the news that I'm waiting for, that I'm eagerly anticipating for. Nope. Wasn't for me. Then you hear the feet coming down the hallway and you hear doors rattling. You're like, this is me. It's my turn. Nope, not my turn. if you're like me, these are some of the most difficult times because you're like, oh, just get over with it, right? I want to hear what I've got to hear. I want you to tell me how I can get better, or I want you to tell me what's wrong. And we're sitting there in God's waiting room thinking, what is he doing? In fact, there's oftentimes, I'll just be honest, that I thought maybe the doctor isn't even here, right? Especially if you have that first appointment. Can I get an amen for that? Is he even here yet? I got here early, and I was waiting in the waiting room. Now I'm in this room, and I'm waiting for him to come. Is he golfing? Is he still playing golf? Is he here yet? And there's other times when there's that long wait, like he comes and sees you, and then he goes back to his office, and you think, did he forget about me? Right? Is he eating lunch, sipping lattes in his office? Is he Googling my symptoms and trying to figure out what he's going to tell me? There are times in that waiting room where you just get so frustrated. And listen, many of us this morning are in God's waiting room. You're in God's waiting room and you're saying, God, where are you? Are you golfing? Right? Are you sipping lattes somewhere? Do you care about me? I'm a person, right? I'm human. Come see me. Come talk to me. Share with me what's going on. I need to know. I've got a timeline. I've got hopes and dreams. God, answer this question for me. Why? And he says, I need you to stay in the waiting room with faith and with patience. I need you to wait in the waiting room with faith and with patience. These can be some of the most difficult times. And unfortunately, these are often the times when people start to say, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I'm not going to stay this route anymore. In fact, I'm going to get up, I'm going to leave the waiting room, and I'm going to find another answer to this problem. They often leave because they had to wait too long. These are difficult times. But the author of Hebrews says, listen, if these people are going to hold on, they've got to have something to hold on to. They've got to be so sold out for this that they could walk through the trials and the fire and know that God on the other end of this will be there for them, and he'll walk through the trial and the fire with them. We first must realize that in these seasons of life, we've got to have something to hold on to. So then, guess what he does? He says, I'm going to give him something to hold on to. I'm going to give him something to trust in. How then, let's answer the question for our second point this morning. How then do we hold on? What motivates us to keep going, to keep waiting in God's waiting room? What keeps us faithful to him and patient to him? When it seems like hope may be lost, when it seems like it's been forever since we've been waiting, what keeps us moving on? Let me tell you what the answer is, and then I'll show you how he explains it. First of all, listen, we must trust the Lord. We must trust the Lord. Essential to you and I waiting in that waiting room is we have to trust that through that door at some point comes a doctor, or in our analogy, comes God, and he says, I am here with you, I am there for you, let me help you through this time. You have to trust the Lord. You won't wait in the waiting room if you don't trust that God is coming. And so he wants to make this very strong analogy. We must trust in the Lord. Now you may say, Jeff, that sounds so unscientific, right? Give me an equation. How do I work that out within me? Well, let me just tell you, here's the equation. Step number one, trust the Lord. Step number two, trust the Lord. And lastly, step number three, and this is the most scientific, trust the Lord. That's what he's going to say. That's his answer to this problem. Well, there must be something more. Well, there is more. He explains it out a little bit, and we're going to look at that this morning. But before we do that, I also want to say this. Are there people in your life that you just can't trust? Do you have one of those people in your life where you're like, I would not trust them with anything. They cannot. I'm not going to leave my child with them, right? I'm not going to leave my pets with them. I wouldn't even leave a plant with them because it seems like in all things that I ask them to do, they don't do it, or they're late in doing it, or they just explain things away. They have excuses for all things. Do you have one of those persons in your life? Some of you, not all of you. Some of you. We all know one of those people, yeah? You also have this person. I would trust them with anything. I would trust them with my child. I would trust them with my house. I would trust them with anything because in all things that I've asked them to do, they are faithful to do them. They're faithful in doing all things. In fact, sometimes they do even do it better than what I thought. And so what the author of Hebrews is saying here is, listen, trust God because he is faithful. He is as good as gold. He will follow through in all things that he says he's going to do. And now he says to the people, listen, God's track record is impeccable. God's word, his promise, is as good as gold. So he takes them back, the people of Hebrews, he takes them back to the time, kind of a Sunday school answer for them. He says, listen, remember Abraham. Remember back to your Sunday school days of Abraham. He's saying, I want you to think about Abraham. And here's what he says. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. Chapter 6, verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting what? Let's try that again. After waiting what? Patiently, Abraham received what was promised. For men swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Abraham is the example that he brings to these people who were waiting, and they had been faithful, but they were starting to wane. And he says to them, listen, I need you to be patient, and I need you to be faithful to God. I know you're in God's waiting room. But do you remember, back in your Sunday school days, do you remember Abraham? And he says this, you know the story. Remember how Abraham had to wait with faith and with patience on the Lord? And what happened with that? Tell me. Well, he says here that God was faithful to the promise that he gave Abraham. How many of you guys remember this? Abraham, right, gets called away from his hometown, right? God says, I want you to move. And when you move, I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you descendants, and I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I'm going to give you blessings. And Abraham says, well, I'll trust this God who's speaking to me, Yahweh. I'll move out. I'll go. So he goes. But how old was it before he had a child? How old was he? He was 100, and his wife Sarah, how old was she? 90, right? That took some patience, amen? And faithfulness. How in the world? I mean, you called me away from my home, and you told me I was going to have these descendants, and I haven't had anything, and I'm 100 years old. Faith and patience in God's waiting room. And then he has this child, his name is Isaac. Isaac grows a little bit, and God says what? Sacrifice him to me. What? Sacrifice him to me. I want you to give up your son for me. Do you love me? Do you trust me? And Abraham says, I love you and I trust you. I've been waiting a long time, but I'm faithful to you and I will do what you ask. So he goes to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God stops him in the last moment because God wanted to know, are you going to be faithful to me? You've been patient. Are you going to continue to be faithful to me? And I want you to see what God says to him. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, and this is kind of key verbiage for us because it's in our passage today, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. In other words, I'm the creator of heaven and earth. There's no one who's going to back up his promise like I will, right? I don't need to speak to anyone above to have my back. I am. I am God, right? I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And listen to this, verse 18. And through your offspring, all nations on earth, I'll say it again, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Faith and patience. God comes to Abraham and he says, I'm going to ask you this. There are going to be times, maybe even 100 years, that I'm going to ask you to wait in my waiting room. And I'm going to ask you to be faithful and I'm going to ask you to be patient. And some of you need to hear that this morning because you're struggling. You have anxiety, you have worry, you're not sleeping at night because you're thinking to yourself, God, when are you going to show up? I'm sitting here in your waiting room, and I'm not getting anything. And I'm just sitting here. And I'm encouraging you, and the author of Hebrews is encouraging you, saying, be faithful, be patient. Be faithful, be patient. God is the highest authority. He is the power to do all things, and he is, this is such good news, faithful to his promises. Now, you might then say to me, great, right? You're saying, I'm waiting in God's waiting room. I'm supposed to be faithful. I'm supposed to be patient. I get that. I hear it. I hear what you're saying. And then you cite Abraham. Well, the author of Hebrews cites Abraham. And he says, listen, he was faithful to Abraham, right? He promised Abraham a son, gave him a son. He promised Abraham descendants, he gave him descendants. But how does that affect me? The question then you would ask is, well, how do I get helped by knowing about Abraham while I'm waiting in the waiting room of God? How does that affect me? Well, I would just say this. It wasn't a limited time offer. How many of you guys have coupon books or things that you put all your coupons in? My wife, who's sitting over here to the left, we'll go out to dinner at times, and she's got this binder, we'll say, of coupons. And we'll bring them out, and we'll be like, well, where can we go? And I'll just, more than half the time, she ends up throwing so many things out of that little coupon binder because it said, what? Expired, right? And typically, it seems like it's the day before, or the couple days before. I'm like, oh, this just expired, and we were going to use this. Well, listen, here's the good news. God's promise did not expire. You don't have to throw it out. In fact, what the author of Hebrews is saying is take great courage from it. Take great courage knowing that God's offer was forever. His promise to Abraham has you in mind. It did not expire. Now listen to this, verse 17. Thus God determined to show more abundantly to the what? Heirs of promise. Well, who could those heirs be? Who could those heirs be? That he made a promise to Abraham, but even more, God was determined to show to Abraham's heirs, we'll talk about that in a second, the unchangeability or immutability. I came up with the word. It's not really a word. Unchangeability is not a word, but immutability means unchanging, and unchangeability fits better there. So, and I'm not making up words, right? Immutability, unchangeability of his counsel, right? God determined more abundantly, I want to show to Abraham's heirs that I am unchangeable. My counsel is unchangeable. And he confirmed it with an oath that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which God it is impossible for God to lie, we might have, listen, strong consolation. We might have strong, and the other word you could use there is encouragement. We, you and I. So you're telling me, Jeff, that all the way back in Abraham, God makes a promise. He's carrying it through in even more powerful ways to us, Abraham's heirs. So that you and I, when we're waiting in the waiting room of God, saying, God, I don't understand. God, when is this going to happen? God, why? When are you going to come down the door and knock on the door and come in? And you're going to answer these things that I have. He's saying, listen, even more important is that you would be encouraged by this news. He goes on to say, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. In other words, those people who are part of Abraham's family have moved out of their old life and run. And there's a great message in here, but we're not going to do it this morning, of talking about the cities of refuge and how people in the Old Testament would leave after they accidentally killed someone. It's a long story. And go for the city of refuge. But it's a beautiful image that he touches on here, but we're not going to touch on it this morning. What I want you to hear this morning is that you can have great encouragement based on the promises that God made to Abraham and has carried it through. He is unchangeable. Know this, God cannot lie. He's made a promise, and he's determined to never let it expire. Now, somehow, we have to know this. Many of you may have heard it before. It's a little song. And I would just encourage you right now, sing along with me if you would. Ready? Father Abraham had many sons. I don't hear you. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, right? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but you started doing it, which is good. You're right along with me. Now listen, what does that song say? It says that God made a promise to Abraham. God is unchangeable. God's oath and promise lasting, not a limited time offer. And in fact, well then, Jeff, where does that benefit me? How does this promise to Abraham help me while I'm waiting in God's waiting room? Look at Galatians 3, verse 7. Galatians 3, verse 7. Take courage and take this promise. Galatians 3, verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are what? Children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. This is what he told Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. 26. Jump with me down to 26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then check this out. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The unchangeable promise? Yes. The unlimited promise? Yes. That God made a promise, and he says, when you're in that waiting room, I want you to hold on to this promise. Here's why it matters. If God went all the way out of his way to make a promise to Father Abraham, and that promise is for Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make I'm going to make your descendants vast. I'm going to bless those who bless you. Through your seed, people are going to be blessed. And he's carried that out all the way till we get to King Jesus. And Jesus comes on the cross and he dies on that cross for you and I. How much more will he see you then through the waiting room times of life? How much more will he see you while you're sitting there and you're struggling and you're wrestling? How much more will he see you through the waiting room times of life? And then the author of Hebrews says, that's great. That's great news. I love that. Now, Lord, give me an image. Give me something that I could say to them. Here, this is what it's like. Hold on to this. And then we get this passage in verse 19. In fact, I would just say, this is a great memorization passage. I would even say that this is a great t-shirt passage. What? Yeah. I would say that this is a great t-shirt passage. Hebrews 6:19. It's up on the board up there. Listen, So I have a bunch of these t-shirts, and we had them made specifically for this passage. I don't have a ton of them, but as you walk out today, off to the right-hand side, I've got a whole bunch of these t-shirts with the anchor on it, and I don't have a ton of sizes because we've sold a lot of them, but if you want one, they're 10 bucks. All the proceeds go to high school youth, junior high and high school summer missions, or I'm sorry, summer high school scholarships. And so if you want, they're 10 bucks. If we don't have your size, make sure Gabriella, who's out there, writes down your size. I'll order them. Anyways, great t-shirt passage is what I'm saying here. Good reminder of who we are in him, where we hold on to. Listen to what he says here. Verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I love it. Don't you love it? Isn't that a great passage? That he says, listen, this hope, what hope? The hope that God's gone through a lot of things to include us as part of his family. He's not going to leave us in the waiting room hopeless. That when I need something to hold on to, and so the author of Hebrews says, listen, give me an image. What's a good image? He says, anchor. I want you to use this image of an anchor. What happens to a ship without an anchor? It floats. It goes away. It goes with whatever the tide takes it. It goes wherever the wind blows. And he's saying, listen, I see you out there, and you're floating, and you're going wherever the tide is taking you, and you're blowing wherever the wind goes. And he's saying, listen, drop that anchor. what's the anchor. The anchor holds that ship steady and taut, and it stays where it is because the anchor is there. And he's saying, listen, people of the church, you need an anchor. If you're going to be waiting, because we're all going to wait in God's waiting room at some point, you need something that's going to keep you there. And what is that for us? It's Christ Jesus, right? It's the hope of that God is trustworthy, that God is immutable or unchangeable, and that he made a promise, and he's going to keep that promise, and he keeps that promise in Christ Jesus, because he goes on to say this. He enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner, not the car, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, Jesus is the forerunner. He's gone before us, and you can have hope in great promise that he is there in heaven as the high priest on your account, on my account. I want you to see this picture real quick as we close. This is the miracle pine. March, remember, this is coming up, right? The last couple, next couple days. In 2011, there was an earthquake tsunami that hits Japan. And this one area in particular was hit extremely hard. 80% of the 8,000 homes were washed away. That's 6,400 of those 8,000 homes wiped clean, which is remarkable. Check this out. 70,000 pine trees once lined this coastline. It was formerly designated a scenic place, but after the tsunami, just one tree remained. Let me say that again. One tree out of 70,000, 69,999 other trees fell, and this one tree remained. In fact, it was so amazing that this pine tree became an emblem of the people's steadfastness, that they were going to make it through this earthquake, and they were going to make it through this terrible tsunami and the loss of 6,400 homes and lives. What if you and I were like that tree, that miracle pine, that people saw in you and I this steadfastness to be able to wait through it when times got questionable, when things got dicey, when we started to feel the wane of the culture pulling us away, we said, no. I'm anchored in the hope of Christ. I trust in God's promise, his faithful, unchanging promise. What if you and I were like that pine and people saw that in us? What if people saw that truth in you? What if your kids saw it? What if your grandkids saw it? Oh yeah, my grandma, she's been through a lot. My grandpa, he's seen everything. And here he is at the end of his days, steadfast, immovable, unchanging. It seems like, man, he could have left a long time ago, but here he is representing you, Lord, in our family. And young people, you think, man, well, I got a lot of time to make these decisions. I can do that later. I'll be faithful. No, now's the time. Start developing steadfastness. Start anchoring your hope in Christ. Talk about it. Share it. What if, like this pine, what if instead of grumbling against the Lord in his waiting room, what if we praise the Lord? What if in saying, where are you? God, where are you doing? Why would you put me through this? Why are we doing this? What if instead you said, faith and patience. Faith and patience. I will wait in your waiting room, Lord, until you come. I will be diligent. I will be anchored to you. Here's the question. Where are you at this morning? Three people that I want to describe. One is, you're anchored. You've been there. You've walked through the trials, you've waited in God's waiting room, and you've been faithful, and you've been patient. And we say to you, thank you. Keep doing it. Keep walking. Be encouraged. Know why you can wait, and you know, if you've been there, you're banking on God's promises. Scientific, remember the scientific, you're trusting him. There's a second person that maybe you've been coming, And slowly the tide has been moving you away. And slowly you've been thinking, well, maybe God isn't coming. And you've been raising up your anchor. You've been saying, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And you start slowly raising up that anchor. And sooner or later, what's going to happen is you're going to drift. I see it in our high school kids at times. And you know, there's an outstanding, amazing movement of high schoolers when they get into college, they get challenged and they think, oh, I'm going to raise up my anchor for a while. And they start to drift and they go away. And I don't think we're so much unlike them. there are times when we come across things that we just say, God, why? God, I've been waiting, and we start to raise up the anchor. And I would say, listen, this morning, the encouragement is God is faithful, God is just, he is unchangeable, he made a promise, he's going to fulfill it, and he does it in Christ Jesus. The last person that I would say this morning is this. Maybe you've never set your anchor, and because of that, you've spent your life moving around to all these different maybe philosophies and theologies, and maybe you've never even thought about philosophy and theology. You've just kind of took it. I'll just take it because I'm strong, and I'll continue on in this life, and I can do it by myself. And God is saying, listen, drop anchor. Don't do it by yourself. Trust in the Lord. Know that he is there for you. We have a servant, all-powerful, all-knowing God who can back up his promises, and he's got a plan for you, and that plan solely includes Christ Jesus and what he did for you on that cross. And if you want hope and you don't want to live the rest of your life saying, I'll just take it, or I've been drifting from philosophy and theology and science and all these other things, and just say, listen, I am going to make my anchor, my grounding in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning. That is a safe place to be, the safest place to be. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.